morning. God sees our suffering and hears our cry. We have an innate desire, an almost unquenchable desire as human beings, to see and to be seen. And this is true at a very deep level, but it's true also on a very simple and practical level. When you're driving, you need to see. When I was learning to drive, my dad would often tell me this phrase, look out for the other guy, right? You can't just drive paying attention to what you're doing, but you have to be aware of other people and maybe even things that they're not aware of. I don't know about you, but when it comes to Lent, which will be starting in a week and a half, I'm like somebody who's driving really fast with my head down. And then I look up, I slam on the brakes, and I crash into Lent. And it hurts, and then my car stops, and I don't know what to do. And so, right, the purpose of this homily is kind of just to look up, to get us to look up and just see a little bit what's coming down the road. If we see what's coming, we'll just be a little more prepared. It'll be a little less shocking when it happens. We live in a world where people are chronically busy and also chronically bored. And it's often the case that those things go together. And those things happen together often because we live in a culture that doesn't really have a sense of what's genuinely good. So if we don't know what's really good, if we don't know what's worth pursuing in life, then we may end up really bored. Because we don't know what to do, so you may as well not do it. But you might also end up really busy. Because every single thing you hear about, every news story, every new person who seems interesting, every image that comes across your screen, well maybe that's the thing that's worth pursuing. Maybe you follow that, right? And so you end up following absolutely everything, or trying to, and that's exhausting. We need it as a culture to recover a sense of what's genuinely good. That might just kind of be a focus of Lent for us. What relationships do I need to pursue in a deeper way? And what's the good within that relationship that God is calling me to or inviting another person to? Right? In my life, what am I aiming for? What am I working for? Is it something that's worth pursuing? We're reading from Mark's Gospel. We'll be reading throughout it on Sundays during the year 2024. We're still just in the first chapter of Mark's Gospel, and Jesus is already, he's kind of busy. He's doing a lot. But he's not doing a lot with this sense of, I don't know what to do next, so I'll do something, but with this sense of knowing what's truly good, because Jesus is God. He is goodness itself. And so there are three separate kind of incidents that happen in this gospel. First, Jesus, he leaves the synagogue, he goes to the house of Simon and Andrew, their brothers, we heard about their calling 2 weekends ago, and he heals Peter's mother-in-law. Now, there's a particular reason he does that, because immediately on coming into the house, her family tells him that she's ill. That detail's important. Right? This is what's meant to happen in a life of community. When you see a need, right, people raise the need, and people who can do something about the need address it. It's also what happens to people in prayer, especially in what we call intercessory prayer, praying for other people or for particular needs. We can bring the needs that we see maybe in our own lives or in the lives of somebody else or in the life of the world, to bring it to Jesus, who is the one who ultimately can do something about it. And then there's a little break, and it says that later that evening, they start to bring to people, to Jesus, two different kinds of people. He heals them. Right? First, they're people who are ill, who are physically sick, And then people, it says, who are possessed by demons. This tells us something about Jesus. Jesus isn't just, like you sometimes hear, sometimes get the impression, a really nice guy who, if you try hard enough, you'll be just like. Jesus, rather, is God. And he has complete power over the physical world and over physical suffering, and also over the whole spiritual world and over spiritual evil. And it's amazing that Jesus has this. I mean, it's just amazing that Jesus has this, period. But in particular, because of how much of his life he spends in silence. And that's the third thing that happens, is that after he does all of this, and before he continues, Jesus goes away in solitude to a deserted place, and he prays. Jesus has 3 years of active ministry, but before that, he spent 30 years being hidden and in silence. That's a proportion of 1 to 10. What if we had 10 parts silence for every 1 part action in life? Or maybe just 1 part silence for 1 part action in life. What would change? What would look different? Jesus' long preparation for ministry is also a good encouragement for seminarians when they're in formation for a long time. It's worth it. Jesus sees our suffering and hears our cry, right? Whether we feel overwhelmed by life or bored with it. What he wants to draw us to is what's good. On the other end of Lent, at the very end, at Easter Vigil, one of the readings we might hear from the book of Isaiah says, "Come to me heedfully." Listen to what I'm saying. "Come to me and you will eat well. You will delight in rich fare." What God calls us to, right, is not some life of like just trying harder, or also not a life where all of our problems simply go away, but a life of real satisfaction. God, who is good, is the source of and the fulfillment of all of our desires. He's greater than everything we could desire. And while he could have taken all of our problems away, instead he joined us in them. And this is part of why Jesus gives us his body and blood in the Eucharist. When we receive him fully present here, he comes and he joins us in our boredom, in our busyness, in our life as it is, whether it seems good or doesn't, whatever it looks like. He enters into it, sees it, and walks with us through it. If we let him do that, we can go anywhere with his help and do anything he desires us to do by his power.